Fire up 13, flight controllers, listen up. Give me a go, no go for launch. Public nudity.
Go.
Illegal narcotics.
Go.
Dog shagging.
We'll go flat.
Bubbler.
Bubblers go.
Poo in the shoe.
Go flight.
Road rage.
Go flight.
Roid rage.
Where go.
Brown paper bags.
Go.
Eclipse containers.
Go.
Chinese restaurants.
Go flight.
Peanut butter photography.
Go.
Billy Idol. Billy Idol. Billy Idol.
Just wait for some power.
Breezers.
Where I go.
Phantom biters.
Lighters go.
Fingers and dates.
Where go flight.
Launch control. This is Fire Up 13. We are go for launch.
Chris Gayle, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Hey, listen, I've got one word. After Billy Idol, Billy Idol, we can't get Billy Idol. Cher.
Yes, Ben Caston has posted on our Facebook page that there's a, is it a synchronicity of dates? That Cher is touring at the same time that the NRL Grand Final is on.
It's too big a coincidence,
it's
surely.
It's a really big coincidence. And, I mean, that would be Mardi Gras and the NRL Grand Final in one year.
What would be the trifecta then?
Potentially continuing the Macklemore theme. Well, you suggested what? Melbourne Cup?
Yeah, seeing the Aussie anthem?
Boxing Day Test?
Boxing Day Test. That's a dud.
Yeah.
Come on. She wants big. She does big.
What other big events do we have in Australia? That's pretty much it. Certainly not Vivid.
Yeah, it's certainly not Vivid, no. I can see you on top of the Opera House, though, can't you?
100%.
And you've witnessed a fantastic performer, a lookalike, recently.
I was at my good friend Gary Davies' 50th birthday party last Friday, which was an absolutely spectacular occasion, and there was, well, I think it was Cher.
And, well, it could have been, couldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and she's saying, all right, the pre-sale was on today. I hope you got your tickets. And, you know, we got four songs. It was
a
great
occasion.
That's
the grand final,
occasion.
Right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, exactly. In fact, you can buy your grand final tickets now.
Gee, I can't wait to see South at the grand final. What about you?
Well, you could be waiting. I mean, it's theoretically possible.
Hey, it says in the paper today, Bunnies bust out. They have got Seibold, their coach. By the way, this is a show about rugby league for anybody who just tuned in. Is it?
Is it?
Is it?
Oh, I don't know. I think that's that of itself is a debate. I mean, it certainly has a... I don't know if you've ever watched any of those cake-making shows, right? But basically, I'm shocked to learn that theme cakes have a base, which is generally a chocolate cake.
Themed cakes have a base.
Yeah, chocolate cake.
It. Yep.
And then, according to the show I watch, you put on lashings of chocolate ganache.
Yeah.
But most of the cake is styrofoam. So I think where rugby league is our cake, we put the ganache on top.
Right.
And then
who's the styrofoam?
Everything else that we cover.
Yeah.
Cher.
Cher.
I mean, we started with Apollo 13. I went and saw a screening of Mission Control, the unsung heroes of Apollo last week.
Yes, you're very much a man of the space technology,
aren't
you?
Well, I saw public service broadcasting with the race for space as well.
Do you know they could run three of those missions on one iPhone these days?
Well, this is true. This is true. And Apollo 16 astronaut Charlie Duke and Mission Controller Jerry Griffin were there.
Yeah.
And what I learned was Apollo 13 was a near disaster.
We based
our show
on a near disaster. You mean we might not come back?
They would have been better if they had the iPhone.
Oh, shit.
But I think the styrofoam of our show is the broad cultural dialogue that we engage in. Dare I say, a local conversation.
Okay, can I go broader?
Sure.
Farewell, South. Tom Wolfe. We salute you. The right stuff.
Oh.
One of the great writers
Chuck
of all
Yeager.
Time. Yes, yes, yes. Go back to his early books.
The Mercury Project, the Gemini. I love how the Americans don't talk about the Gemini Project, it was the Gemini Project.
The Gemini.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Tom Wolfe passed away this week, and we're here to fire up. Salute you and all your endeavours.
Did you see Bonfire of the Vanities with Tom Hanks?
I did. And
not so good, I hear.
To be perfectly frank, the original New Journalism was my favourite, and he was a big fan of the Rabbitohs too. Did you know that?
Tom?
Yeah.
I mean,
he used to wear white suits underneath it all.
Yep.
Red and green, or myrtle and
one day Russell Crowe said, "Who's my ideal dinner party?" The Dalai Lama, Tom Wolfe, Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
He made it happen.
Really?
Yeah, they're all South fans.
Not even one of the players?
No. Well, John Sutton, probably.
Sutto, come on.
Ornament.
It's all for Sutton, right?
Ornament.
All for Sutton. Anyway, it says here, the new coach, Seibold, has given South, get this, a license to thrill. That's like James Bondian, isn't it?
Well,
a license to thrill.
Well, I mean, I don't know how thrilling they were based on the... I think Andrew Webster said they were counting feet out at ANZ Stadium last Sunday where they said the crowd was 13,000.
You've got a bugbear about this, haven't you?
I have a real bugbear about this. Yeah. I thought we were going to come to it later, but I'm happy to talk about it now.
You think there should be a criteria for existence in the rugby league?
Well, there was a criteria for existence in the rugby league, Stephen. It was made extremely clear.
What were some of those cut-off points, would you say?
Well, finances.
You had to be self-financed.
Yeah, right? Facilities.
What, you had to have toilets? A change room?
Correct. Actually, yes. Redfern Oval looks great every time I drive past it now, but you couldn't hold a first-grade rugby league game there.
No, well, Clover made sure of that.
Yeah, and I think supporter base and crowds was another measure.
Another measure?
Yeah.
Okay, and who wouldn't sort of come up very well? Who doesn't scrub up? Certainly Roosters don't scrub up.
Was it 20 went into 16 and there was financial offers on the table to merge? And certain clubs, need I say, more Wests, Balmain... Mm. Norse Manly were maybe not so much. St George Illawarra, well, that was a takeover. Yeah. But certain clubs took their
Illawarra
medicine.
Who?
And exactly. Balmain Tigers took their medicine. South, the hubris of South. Yeah. And 80,000 people marched. Well, not to ANZ Stadium last week.
They don't know where it is.
It's just insane. And they were kicked out. Yeah. And if Rupert Murdoch had any courage, he would have taken them on in the federal court.
He's
and
got
they
wouldn't soft, be
hasn't
here
he? Now. But apparently they are, and we have to all deal with it. So, license to thrill? Yes. I think not.
We're not done yet with South, right?
Not by a long way. But they beat your guys.
We'll get to that.
And
Chris,
was it the win you had to have?
We'll get to that.
The loss. Because you certainly had one.
Can we unpack it later?
Oh, okay. Please.
Now, listen, last week we were talking it up. We've done the talking it up.
I'm over talking this game.
We're going to stick this damn code down.
We got
right?
done last night. Yeah, I'm furious.
I hate it.
23 penalties, two simmers. My friend Stephen Gorry said he can't watch the game anymore.
There's no love in it at all. I hate the damn game.
I'm finished. I think we're finished with rugby league here, Stephen.
Yes, we are.
We're going to talk about other things.
The game is in sad shape, though, isn't it?
It's.
And really, we've lost one of our greats this week.
I tell you what a big story
what
this was.
What a big story this was. When you lose one of your, well, I'm practically an immortal, really, without having said so.
As we'll hear from the audio, potentially knocking on the door. What a great player. What a momentous time in rugby league if this player is lost to the game.
Yes, look, I feel for his family.
Sure.
His kiddies, if he's got any.
His club, his fans.
His mates, yeah, everybody.
The code.
Yeah. We're talking about a man called Kenny Edwards.
Of course, Kenny Edwards.
Come on down, Kenny. We'll have you here on Fire Up because we need anything we can get to keep going.
Parramatta Eel, Kenny Edwards.
Yes. Now, who hasn't done this, Chris? I asked you, you're driving, it's the dead of night, you know, you've got some concerns, you see the red and blue lights and you go, Jesus Christ. And you just pull the anchor, quick U-turn. Head south, right?
I've got to go to the shops.
I've got to get out of here. Kenny did that, of course.
He did.
Now, we didn't, you know, we assumed, of course, that he'd been drinking, but that wasn't the case, was it? There was another story to this. And rugby league players are fleet of foot, we know that.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, though Parramatta on this year's evidence, maybe not as fleet of foot.
No.
Apparently, Kenny was driving on a suspended license.
Right.
Okay. Right.
So he got a case of the fears, the chills, didn't he? And he thought, okay, U-turn. Did he do the U-turn before he got to the police block or after? Do we know that?
Well, being Parramatta, I think he actually... I think they'd be right. He'd actually gone through the breath test without being pulled over.
Alerted them.
But still processed the panic and goes, well, hang on.
I got to get out of here.
They'll probably scan me. Yeah. I'll do a U-turn right in front of them. Yeah.
So, Kenny Edwards, etc., misled the club's officials because they didn't know about his previous track record either.
No, well, there was the famous urine swap where Kenny gave his sample for Kyzer Pritchard.
Yeah.
He was in trouble for that. There was a rather unseemly incident with his partner.
Right.
So he's got, can I say, form? As opposed to Parramatta, who doesn't have form.
So he saw the breathalyzer test, turned the vehicle, and then apparently it was still ticking over, it was still warm. But he'd bolted. He'd done a bolt.
Left
the engine running. Yeah.
And what was he driving out of it?
Well, let me just have a look at this. He was on his way to training in a black Holden Cruise.
My daughter owned a Holden Cruise, right. And it was like 4 years of embarrassment for her.
Right.
So
every time she saw the coppers, she'd do a U.
She'd do a U. And with good reason.
I can't be caught in one of these things.
And parental encouragement. Because, you know, I think Kenny quite rightly feared that he was going to be mocked for the choice of vehicle.
Well, I don't blame him, really, you know. If it was a Beamer or a Lexus, you know, or Mercedes, you know.
They go, hang on, mate, aren't you a first-grade rugby league player? What's gone wrong?
Exactly, yeah. The shame.
Yeah.
The shame, you know. Even with the law. And really, the law, we should all be equal with the law.
That's the principle.
Oh, dear. I'm very, very upset. So you think that we may have lost him?
Well, you know, there's a thing called a contract.
Yes.
And I think the other thing was, there is apparently, and we, of course, had this contract. I don't know if anyone remembers this, but we were the integrity unit a couple of years ago.
Yeah, we cleaned up the game.
We cleaned the game right up. We lost the contract. It was sort of outsourced, and it was won by a foreign company.
Uh-huh.
And rugby league's been going downward ever since.
Yeah, when you say foreign, you mean like from Victoria.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And you're meant to report, if you have interaction with a constabulary in any way, you are apparently on an obligation to let your club know.
Yeah, yeah.
Can he only let Parramatta know just before it was being mentioned in court, which was a little bit late in the day?
Not while he was doing the U-turn?
No.
Okay, a little later.
Well, he had a full night, okay, so to speak.
We salute you, Kenny. We'll be back in a minute. This is Fire Up on FB.
And everywhere we go, we had 25,000 people in New York City. I asked them, are you fired up? And they were all fired up. And I asked them, are you ready to go? And they're all ready to go.
Today, I'm announcing my retirement from representative football as of right now, which means I'll be unavailable for selection for the Maroons in 2018 State of Origin Series, and any test matches that will be involved with the Kangaroos this year.
Who was that knock on the door?
Well, there's many candidates.
Yeah. Look, someone's saying, Cam, we need to talk.
Yeah.
We need to talk about Cam. Now, you know the Queen, Queen Elizabeth II?
I'm familiar with the work,
she's
yes.
She's having a big week.
Yes.
Right? She had a year, not a good year once upon a time, and she famously declared her anus horrible.
Horrible.
Right. That's right. Now Cam Smith is having such a year. It's not over yet, Cam.
I thought you were going to talk about the royal wedding there for a moment.
We could.
You know, it's so bad that my partner is having her friends over to watch the Royal Wedding tomorrow night. You know what I'm doing?
What is so bad? The world?
No, it's so bad in my life.
In your life, yes.
I'm going to the AFL.
That's it. Let's pack up and go now, shall we? That's it. Fire up. We're here to announce our retirement forevermore.
For all representative broadcasting.
That's it. What is this code you're talking about?
Well, you know, I always feel that we perhaps are dismissive of things we know nothing about. So I thought I'd go and immerse myself in scarf culture and see what it was like.
Oh, and
yeah. But the royal wedding is the prompt.
Scarf culture.
Yeah, the royal wedding is the prompt because,
right, okay,
you know.
Get out of the house.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Markles are stepping down because, let's face it, the Queen's had a few anus horribles. My concern when she called it her anus horribles was that she'd called it too early.
Yeah, she had.
But maybe it hadn't bottomed out.
Like Cam Smith.
Yeah, that's right.
So is it Markle Sparkle or is it Markle Mayhem?
I like Markle Mania.
Markle Mayhem, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very
slow. And you reckon the Swannies is one step above that? In your sort of you know pantheon of sort of entertainment, I watch the wedding, go to the Swannies. I'll go to the Swannies.
This is an expression.
A tough decision.
This
isn't
is
it?
My own expression. I've just made it up. It's the lesser of two evils.
The lesser of two evils. Oh, I wouldn't call Markle evil.
You haven't met my friend Anthony that I'm going to the football with. It's not going to be much fun. It's just really going to be torture.
Right, right. And you're doing this purely for research to give us an extra week of life here at Fire Up, right?
Content.
We've got nothing else to talk about, right?
We're content light.
Is king.
Yeah, we're content light.
Right, okay, all right. Well, let's talk about Cam. Let's just get safe ground. Let's get us back to rugby league, shall we?
Well, I mean,
and Cam Smith isn't rugby league anyway.
Well,
he never represented it.
It's certainly not the game that I grew up and loved.
No, nothing to do with it.
If there's been one single person who's dismantled the modern game, I mean, people say Craig Bellamy.
But no, he's old school.
They talk about your Slaters, you talk about your Cronks. It's Smith.
Yeah. There's no soul. There's no heart. There's nothing there.
Well, I thought the knocking was just, you know, sort of empty void in his head.
Who was that knocking at the door? Who do you think it was?
Well, it could have been a debt collector.
Of course. But he's got a lot of money.
I mean, everyone's speculating what's behind this.
Is he tight?
Enormous gambling debts, perhaps.
Ah, what else are you going to do in Melbourne?
It could have been Freddie
Fittler. Paris to the south.
Alternatively, it could have been Freddie Fittler with a bag of money saying,
"Come on,
thank you, Cam.
Thank you very much for retiring.
Deal.
Right. It could just be Father Time because he is looking a bit exhausted.
Yeah. Could be.
Does Father Time knock?
Father Time, as Gus Gould so poignantly said this week, remains undefeated.
He's a poet, isn't he? Yeah. He could put out, like, you know, John Laws did his country albums and then his poetry albums.
Yes.
Has Gus done that? A talking book?
He should. Well, if I tell you, if he does Good as Gould on Audible, I'll actually subscribe.
Right.
One of the things that I think we all suffer from in the modern age is high-definition television hides nothing. And Kevi Walters, who I always felt looks a little bit like a Sontaran from Doctor Who,
yes,
actually is going okay, but Cam looked old.
Well, you can see the plugs in his head to start with.
Oh, yeah.
And the circuit boards.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, once you get on the slope and it's slippery, it's hard to stop sliding. Yeah. And his year has been one hell of a slippery slope.
Do you think
he's
trading his high-def TV for something a little more old-school? So the kiddies can't see it?
Well, you know that there's this mania now for retro. Like, I mean, we've gone from vinyl to cassettes.
Oh, how good is vinyl, eh?
Yeah, it's warm. It's analogue.
Have you discovered that? How good is vinyl?
Yeah, how good is vinyl?
I'd like to collect that, actually.
I believe that people are now buying vintage TVs so that they get a softer, gauzier view of life.
Well, Dr. Smith looked great on our TV.
Hang on, Dr. Smith, you're talking about Lost in Space?
Lost in Space.
And you've seen the new version with Parker Posey as Dr. Smith and it just doesn't work for you?
Doesn't work, does it? No. And, you know, Bewitched. I mean, you know, she looks stunning on that old school TV.
Elizabeth Montgomery,
that nose. You know? Wow. I'll go down that path.
And the two Darrens.
And the two Darrens, Derwood and Derwin.
I have a friend whose name is Derwood.
And this is a show about rugby league.
It is. I have a friend whose name is Derwood. calls himself Poss, because he looks like a possum, apparently. And, I mean, first of all, you love to know why they named him Derwood. You know what? He's a Bulldog supporter. Makes sense, doesn't it? The ostracised, the unforgiven, the lonely.
Yes, he's just
Derwood.
Like, he doesn't exist, really. He has no rights in the household. Okay, so, well, it could have been just the general rugby league lynch mob knocking on the door, coming to get you.
Well, yeah, I mean, all the other clubs.
All the other clubs, exactly.
Coming to get you.
Yeah, coming to get you.
And it could have been Kevin Proctor.
Yeah.
Could have been Kevin Proctor.
Okay.
Just to sort of clarify that, I didn't pull his leg out. I didn't try to pull his leg out. You know, Kevy's a really good friend of mine. He's a really good friend of everyone at our club, and I played many games with him, so there's absolutely no chance I'd be going in there to try and injure the bloke. I'll be honest with you there. So, you know, whatever happens out of this game or that tackle, I've got absolutely no control over. So, all I can say is I'm not in there to try and hurt the bloke. I'll guarantee you that. It's unfortunate. I spoke to Kevy after the game, and just to see how he's going, and I made sure I said, mate, I had no intention to hurt him at all, or for him to pick up an injury. And he said it was very grateful for me to come over to say I didn't had no intention, and that's where it's at.
How nice, though. I mean, he really has got like Jesus Christ, really. He's got the common touch to start with, but he's special. And Kevy was grateful.
Kevy Proctor. Now, for those unfamiliar,
Sideshow Bob, right?
Yeah, Sideshow Bob. Yeah. Recently appeared on the 7:30 report for reasons that I don't think we need to go into again, because the West Tigers are welcoming, hopefully, Ben Barber to the fold in exchange for Kevin Nagama, and we forgive people's sins of the past.
We do. It's a code for redemption.
Yeah.
Forgiveness.
What happened there was Smith was sort of third man in. And
describe the situation. In rugby league, for those people who don't follow rugby league, but love fire up.
Yes.
You're allowed any number of men to come in on one man.
Correct.
Who's holding a ball, and you can just rip him apart. Except his head, right? So Cam has tried every other limb or part. He's ripped ears.
Well, very recently.
Testicles.
Jeremy Lattimore working the head with the forearm.
Exactly. He's done it all, but I don't think he's had a shot at Kevin Proctor's leg. And that's in that sort of moment of tightness, because he's getting old, Father Time.
Yeah.
What's left? His brain's going, shit. You know, there's three blokes pulling him that way. You all know what it's, making a wish.
Yeah, wishbone.
You know? Yeah. Your hips don't like it.
It's the leg version of the chicken wing tackle.
Hurts a little bit, doesn't it? Because he's famous for the chicken wing tackle, isn't he?
He is indeed.
Yeah.
There was an incident earlier that was close and we let it go.
It was close to what?
To a chicken wing tackle. That one he's got it under and he's ripped it through.
What's a chicken wing go?
He gets his arm under and he's ripping the shoulder blade out. What you need to do, if you get your arm in there, you get it out. Okay, you don't go on with the tackle in there.
Someone gets tackled with their arm out, it's a chicken wing?
No, it's not, Cameron. In this instance, we've deemed it to be a penalty.
Right.
He plays dumb, doesn't he?
They were the golden era, though. When,
is
when...
that guy talking too fast to you?
That was Badge, right? Was it?
Badge, yeah.
That was the golden era when Smith held sway, not like 2018, and he could contest what referees were saying, and they would defer. Because like Kevin Proctor apparently was, they were grateful that the great Commandant Smith was speaking to them. I know.
Look at them.
And so, but, you know, he's moved through the menu. So the wishbone is trying to, and of course, Proctor's had his groin muscle stripped off the bone. And I don't know. That sounded like a confession to me. Yes. But still that hubris that, that
he's
people
bleeding ignorant. But you know he's a cocky bugger. He knows exactly what he's doing.
But can we chronologically go through Cameron's year that's ended up where it's ended up?
Yes. Well, we all remember, as you know, I'm going to have a testimonial next week, Chris.
Is that right?
Yes. I'm not going to leave the station, but I thought I'd have a testimonial just to get in early, right?
So when you have a testimonial, so you I guess...
I'm calling it, by the way.
Right, yeah. Sure. So, I mean, generally people have been paid to do something, and a testimonial is a fundraiser kicker at the end of their career.
Yeah, just to see them off into the sunset years.
When you've been paid nothing, you're not expecting
what
so much.
What are we going to get? 10% of what we've earned?
A heartfelt handshake.
Oh, lovely. Okay. And generally speaking, I think the body of the code, for want of a better term, or the institution, organises it for you.
Right.
Or some sort of, fundraising charity, sort of not-for-profit group will do it. You don't call your own testimonial midway through a year before you've retired and you haven't even announced your retirement, correct?
Unless you're JT and Smith.
Okay. He's a Queenslander, right?
Yep.
Okay. And where does he do it?
Where was the testimonial?
Yeah.
Suncorp Stadium.
In Brisbane.
Yeah, home of so many Origin great moments for the great Cam.
So not only is he Australian captain, Queensland captain, a Queenslander.
Captain of Earth.
Captain of Earth, right?
Yep.
Commandant of the global universe.
You know, head of the People's Republic of Craig Bellamy.
He's got his own testimonial. He gets booed.
Can you believe that?
Can you believe that?
By Queenslanders.
Queenslanders.
Talk about knock a man off his gyroscope.
We thought every Queenslander was like Bob Catter, had no sense at all. But they obviously do.
And what it was so clearly saying, because the two teams are out of town teams, Melbourne and Townsville to me are both out of Brisbane,
of course,
and they're viewed similarly, so there'd be no geographic bias in what they were saying. The Queensland fans were simply saying, we like Jonathan Thurston more than Cameron Smith, and it really rocked him. It was the first crack in the veneer.
Yes, the first of many to come. He turned around and put his arms out like, really? Really?
Yeah, he was actually pleading the referee for
I'm disbelieving a
ruck infringement. Of all people appealing for ruck infringements.
You, the Queenslanders, my people.
Right, so that was the first barb.
Number two, please.
Well, I don't know if you were lucky enough to be down at the SCG, a.k.a. Shark Park, for that momentous occasion some about 6 weeks ago or whatever, where I think there was something like 28 penalties in the game.
Right, famous.
Matt Chechen, hero to us, former guest on Fire Up.
Absolutely.
Sent Cameron Smith to the bin.
What?
To the sin bin.
He got sent to the sin bin.
Yeah.
First time in his career.
First time in his career.
Yeah.
As we said, the scenes were reminiscent of
V-Day.
V-D-Day or VE Day or whatever it was.
Yeah, young men were picking up ladies and kissing them. There was tinsel.
People had never met each other were embracing. There was a man with a hat.
Dancing down to Miranda Mall.
Twirling. Big leagues ripped up everywhere and committed 33 penalties from producer Pat on that awful night.
An outbreak of euphoria.
Yeah, it was unprecedented scenes.
Yes.
And Smith, this was swirling around him. He goes, I've been booed at home.
Yeah.
And now the referees, a group of people who were grateful.
And beneath
him. If I spoke to them, are now pushing back. Yeah. What does this mean?
Yeah. There must have been a memo Chris sent out.
Our friend, and hello to Mr. Greenberg and his extended family, our very best wishes. I hope they're going well. I think Todd Greenberg sent a memo. And he said, we have no fear or favour. You blow a penalty when you see it, Matt.
Right.
And I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Cameron Smith. No. If he talks back, bin.
I had a funny feeling it might have been because we'd outed him as the devil. As Lucifer himself.
Well, you think this is a religious war?
I think it is. That's why the Queenslanders are against him.
Come on. Well, they're God-fearing up there.
So, he was booed. He was binned. What's next?
Well, we were down at Cogra.
Yep. Against the once almighty Dragons.
Yes, arguably one of the spiritual homes of the game.
The ex-benchmark.
And Smith was doing his usual work. Work he has done for decades. Work that he has been lauded for.
Yeah.
prince of the ruck.
Yeah.
He's got the forearm rubbing it all over poor old Jeremy Lattelaw's utility's head.
Only so many people can have that that honour, that mantle, that crown, prince of the ruck. I think he's handed that over to South now, hasn't he?
Oh, well, yes, I think.
Hasn't he?
We're seeing Melbourne Light through Anthony Seibold.
Melbourne Light.
In the same way
but
that
they've got license to thrill, Chris,
we see the Roosters
that?
Light in the Newcastle Knights. And Lattimore, involuntarily, almost like a funny bone reaction, has sort of lashed out with his arm. And it's hit the commandant in the wheels.
In the wheels.
He's got one in the groin.
In the nuts.
Yeah, led to a try to Cameron McInnes. Good job.
Fantastic stuff.
So
that's embarrassment. That's shame.
It's the crowd.
Yeah.
It's the referees.
Yep.
And it's St. George players.
I know.
Having the temerity to question Cameron Smith's involvement in rugby league.
The same team that they put to the sword in 1999. That same team. Who could forget? Okay. So, booed, binned.
Bald.
What's next? What else could go wrong in his year?
Well, you heard Cameron's very, very vivid description that he didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't pulling Kevin Proctor's leg. Well, he didn't mean to pull Kevin Proctor's leg.
No.
Well, he didn't mean to hurt him. Well, he hurt him.
Yeah.
He got a week.
So he's barred.
So the rugby league judiciary...
Took him out for a week.
The rugby league judiciary, who hadn't touched him for more than a decade since the grand final, pre-grand final incident.
Well, he did,
Chris. You know? Mm. They've kicked him out of the game for a week.
Unbelievable.
They said, you can't play our game for 1 week.
Right. So he's going down punt road. He saw the writing on the wall. Right? Cam, look out. Car crash coming. Look out. Look out. What did he do next? Holds that press conference.
He holds that press conference where he's bailed on Queensland
Australia.
And the Kangaroos.
Yeah, yeah.
And there has been disturbing vision of him. Apparently he's like a junior, you know, referee's juniors. Referee's his own son. You can imagine how balanced that'd be.
Right.
And he's been seen sort of high-fiving Hawthorn AFL players as they run onto MCG or Etihad or wherever they choose to play that silly game.
Yeah.
So
you're going to witness tomorrow.
So he's bailed, yes. Mm-hmm. He's bailed on his teams and he's sniffing around another code.
Is that right? Yeah. Is he tall enough?
To be an administrator in AFL? To be an ambassador of the game?
He's
more than tall enough.
More than tall enough for that, okay. And is there one final sort of, you know, disgrace or face in the mud moment yet to come, do you think?
Well, his only friend left in all of this, you would have said, given that he's already announced that he's not going to coach, would be the media.
Right.
So I turned to the team lists in the esteemed News Limited publication, The Daily Astonisher, yesterday.
Yeah.
And they're listed playing at number 9 for the Storm.
Yeah.
At the rake position, one Brandon Smith.
Wow.
So I think the person knocking at the door was the Registry of Birth, Deaths and Marriages. Go, Cameron, here's your new name, your identity.
Right, okay.
I think he's about to go into witness protection.
Because I've never felt like I've really got to know Cameron Smith.
In any shape, way, shape, or form.
I mean,
haven't been able to get behind.
I wouldn't call him an enigma. I just think there's something just untoward, just other.
Yeah, you know? And, you know, it's too strange for me.
Okay, we'll be back in a minute. Fire up. I'm very concerned about all this.
After about a minute or two, I'm feeling kind of fired up. I could hardly believe the news the other day when Cameron Smith declared that he'd retired. He's been carrying Queensland for more than a decade. Without Cam Smith, the Queensland team looks dire. They're just a bunch of duds, but Cameron used to make them look good. So tell me this before you go. Cam Smith, JT, or Cooper Cronk.
I'm a bit sad, really, now, aren't you? I'm feeling it, you know. I know that we don't think much of the man, but it's a bit of a loss, though, surely, Chris.
Very nice of Kevvy Walters to shoot that to us.
Yes.
It was the song was obviously recorded there by Kevvy Walters, produced by Dennis Carnahan, who's in a run of Rugby League, the musical at the Bridge Hotel.
Okay.
Two more Mad Mondays to go. I will be there on the 28th. Please come and say hello.
You've got the time for that?
I've made time. I coach a women's basketball team, and I said, girls, you're on your own.
Of course you do.
Yeah, you're on your own.
You're on your own.
They've been winning without me, so, you know.
Good luck to them. Good luck to them. This is Fire Up, and you're on FBI 94.5 in our 13th year, our near disastrous mission, Chris.
Well, yeah.
How's it feeling to you?
Well, what is interesting to me is that our trajectory, which if we don't get it right, we'll see a slingshot around the moon and head into the sun.
Never to be seen again.
We are, you know, the Apollo missions had three astronauts.
Right. Okay.
So from memory, in Apollo 13, it was Lovell, Swigert, and Swigert and Hazy. Yeah. Mattingly was had the measles, couldn't fly.
Wow.
On our vehicle, I think very quickly it'll be you, me, Cam Smith.
Cam Smith needs a job.
Yeah.
We don't pay much.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, if you want to go into a witness protection program and not be heard by anybody, perfect place to be.
Perfect place to be. No one can hear you.
No one does hear you.
Are there trees out there? You're chopping down?
Yeah.
Now, Chris, perhaps...
If the play the ball is unacceptable, the try does not exist, Stephen.
It does not. No, we proved that already last week. We pulled that apart last week. Tell me this, Chris, do we need some guidance, do you think? Do you think we've come off the rails a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, this is our worst year. Yeah. We're losing relevance. We're slingshotting into the sun.
Where would you go? Anthony Robbins?
Exactly. You know, self-improvement. A consultant.
Yeah. Gus School?
Probably too, out of our price range.
Rabs? Does he give advice? I don't think he does.
No. Rebs is an executor rather than an advisor, I think.
He's a doer.
He
doesn't talk about
it. He doesn't have opinions.
But there are many coaches in trouble in rugby league, and they need their counsel.
Correct.
And we call them footy whisperers.
Yes.
Coach whisperers.
Yeah, it's a new industry.
It's all the right. It's a growth industry.
It's a new age growth
now,
industry.
Let's start with a culture expert. Now, everything has culture, of course. Culture comes in all shapes and forms. In rugby league, there is a culture. And if you don't have the culture, you're no good. You're done.
Culture is the byword. Parramatta right now, depending on who you talk to, Max Donnelly, the administrator, says they've got a culture problem.
Right.
And again, Vale, Kenny Edwards, from what we can see.
Exactly.
Nathan Hindmarsh said, if we were winning games, we wouldn't be talking about we're having a culture problem. And people point out, maybe it's the culture as to why you're not winning games, Nathan.
Okay, so it's not a... Okay, this is the...
It's elusive, though.
Yeah. This is the chicken and the egg thing, though, isn't it?
Very much
so. Does the culture come first before the winning, or the winning make the culture?
Yeah, well, I think winning creates a culture.
Of course it does.
Yeah, it's called a winning culture.
Look at the scoreboard. Yeah. We're winning. That's all that matters. That's what South said last week, too.
But isn't it interesting that when teams aren't winning, they don't go to matters like not good enough, not playing well enough. They go to culture.
Culture, right? Yeah, something wrong with the culture. Well, you know, you put in a dish, it can go off, can't it?
Well, but if you do it right, you get the Melbourne Storm.
You do, and how good is that?
Biomechanically engineered to last.
Now, one of these great footy whisperers for the West Tigers, your mob.
Yes.
How good is that going?
4 out of 5 losses, Stephen. You know, the
Bill
muscle,
Nelson, stand up and take a bow.
Bill Nelson, who I used to think was in English art rock band Bebop Deluxe, has actually reinvented himself as a culture expert and runs a business called Total Performance Concepts.
Say that one more time.
Total Performance Concepts. Rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
TPC.
Yeah, except isn't that an internet company or something?
I think it is.
So you can't use the acronym.
But Bill Nelson, 4 out of 5 losses. That doesn't sound very... That culture's off.
And of course, why is it going wrong?
Yeah.
Well, according to Bill, he says winning is in the picking.
In the picking.
If you want to get a good culture and want a good team, pick good people.
Well, you've gone picking grapes and fruit, haven't you? You don't pick the rotting ones.
No, you pick the good
ones,
right?
It's simple.
Right, so he goes, I don't... That is in no way having a go at anyone who was here in the past. Hello, Woods, Moses and Tedesco. Yeah. But knowing what we needed
the
to accomplish,
three.
It was going to take not only a certain type of player, but a certain type of person... trying to build a team based on trust, ..
Yeah.
You know, 4 losses out of 5.
Yeah.
Turns out winning is in the picking, Bill. Thanks very much. Just
where did the picking go
just
wrong?
Just give me your last invoice and keep moving, son.
Benji, is that a wrong pick or a right pick?
Benji's a great person.
He's a great person.
But I think the secret to winning is not picking good people, it's picking great football players.
Forget the good people. Cam Smith's not a good person.
Yeah, Cleary and Maloney, step on up.
Yeah. Okay, so Bill Nelson, West Tigers, Total Performance Concepts, keep on walking.
Keep on walking.
Keep on walking. Okay, let's go to the Chooks, shall we?
Why not?
Bradley Charles Stubbs.
Stubbsy.
I love the triple barrel there. Bradley Charles Stubbs, that sounds important, doesn't it? He is the coach whisperer at the Chooks, and... I suppose, you know, they, any advantage you can get, you know. Well, do they cost much money, by the way?
I think they cost a pretty penny.
Fair packet, right.
I don't think he's got an ABN. I think he just sort of invoices. He doesn't charge GST.
He goes to the golf course, right? Yeah.
That's right, with Nick and Cooper.
Yeah.
And he's working very, very closely with Robbo.
Right.
And so finally we've found out where this front door eyes up footy malarkey has come
from.
For
those who don't know, Robbo's the coach of the Chooks,
that's right?
Right.
Yeah. It's come from this joker, Stubbs.
Stubbs.
He's putting these notions into Trent Robinson's head.
Right.
And it's, well, you know, look, maybe it's now working. They had a good win.
Do we have any idea of his notions?
Yeah, well, I don't know that there's much to be said about it.
Because I think that the Chooks like to keep it in-house, don't they? On the quiet.
He says, my programs have turned teams struggling for success into world beaters.
Ooh.
Coaches that have worked with me have gone on to unprecedented success. I like how he's not overselling it.
No, no. Yeah. And also, it doesn't hurt to buy Cooper Cronk and Tedesco, does it?
That helps.
Hello.
You know. National teams with tarnished reputations, well, the Wallabies might be interested.
Yes.
Have once again been able to delight their fans.
Wow.
The consultancy services that I provide, and tell me if this isn't modern parlance, are bespoke and tailored to the specific client and their goals.
I mean, in days gone by, you'd only get that at the local tailor.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
Zinc and Sons, you know.
That's right.
Would you like bespoke? Or off the rack?
What sort of fabric would you like?
Custom, please.
And so Stubbsy's obviously taking credit for the big win against the Warriors. I think that it's Nick Politis is taking credit because he had to wait 30 minutes to get a hamburger in Queenstown at Ferg Burger.
Can I just put my 2 cents in here?
Please.
Have you been to Queenstown?
No.
You go to the main street, right? There's food everywhere. And you think, who are these clowns queuing up for a burger? Who queues for a burger?
Right.
I refused to walk into the joint.
Who queues for gelato?
Who queues for gelato with velvet rope?
Yeah.
For goodness sakes.
There's a cafe in Balmain.
It's like putting a big dunce hat on it.
There's a cafe in Balmain that won the Good Food Awards like back in the early 2000s.
Yep.
And there's a chicken shop next to it.
Tell me the burger I ate it out.
And you would queue for 15 minutes to get your double shot latte.
Yeah, yeah.
At the, I'd walk into the chicken shop, I'd have a coffee in 30 seconds. Yeah. Could I taste the difference?
No.
Well, yes, I could, but time is money.
People
so you've seen the Ferg Burger thing, have you?
I have seen it, and I refuse to join the queue.
Right.
I'm not going to... Yeah, the footpath is blocked.
But Stephen...
Yeah.
They're delicious.
They're delicious.
Anyway, Politis hated it, so he blew the Roosters up and says, you've got to give it to these New Zealanders for making me wait.
Okay, got it.
So it wasn't Stubbs, was Politis.
So there's
hello, Nick.
There's method to his madness.
Absolutely.
He gets angry. The queue at Ferber goes back, hypes them up. Come on, boys, go and destroy
him. In fact, Stubby's only contribution was he said, Nick, could you get me a burger at Ferg Burger? And that triggered Nick. That was it's like the Hulk.
So this Stubbs, he's a genius.
Yeah, he's not that bad.
Okay, all right. Now, I'll tell you what, though. Rugby league is a simple game played by simple men.
Yeah. It was once beautifully described by Jamal Idris, who's now retired. Yeah. And if you're following Jamal on Instagram, he's seeing the world.
Yeah.
And he's found love, and it looks just great.
Is that what happens when you see the world?
Yeah, it didn't do much good for the Tigers, but, another good person that we picked rather than a great player.
Yeah, that great football player.
Jamal Idris, I said, rugby league is a simple game played by idiots.
Right. Well, I think Spud Carroll knows that.
Great man.
Yes.
Been on this show.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yep.
He has been, unbeknownst to myself, because Spuddy came on the show, didn't he?
He did.
Little did he tell me or warn me that he was one day going to be whispering via text into the ears of the Burgeye.
Well, there you go.
To decimate the Dragons.
Yeah.
If I'd known that, I wouldn't have had him on.
You wouldn't have been part of it.
He would have been banned.
Yeah.
And barred.
Yeah.
Booed.
Bald, bailed, and branded.
Imagine me kicking Spud the nuts. Goodness gracious, I wouldn't live to tell a tale, would I?
No.
But anyway, we don't know whether it's by design or that's the best he can do, but he keeps the text very short and concise.
Yeah.
One could say simple.
Yeah, just straightforward.
What sort of comments would you say be doing?
Well,
run it up the middle.
Okay, he said things like aim for 15 to 20 carries a game, which is probably as technical as you
that
can get with a
Burgeye.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I know.
Come on, Spud.
Yeah. Good
that
maths,
one went, that one went right over their head.
Fight for every inch.
Yeah.
The obvious joke to make here in relation to George Burgess, he's been doing a lot of fighting.
Yes.
Based on the number of inches.
Yes. But, so this is not centimetres.
No.
Old school.
They're English.
Yardage.
Yeah,
inch, yes.
They're imperial, not metric.
Yeah.
Hello, Meghan Markle and...
Yes, Harry.
Harry.
What's Harry's last name, by the way?
Is it Windsor?
Is it Prince Harry Windsor? Is that his real name?
I actually
have real names?
I actually think it's Smith.
Is it Brendan or Brandon?
Brandon Smith is marrying Meghan Markle. Well, hang on. Yeah. Has anyone ever seen Harry and Cameron?
Nelson? Harry Nelson?
Prince Nelson.
Prince Nelson. Oh, yes.
Rogers.
Oh, yes. Prince Rogers. Okay, yes.
But this is the one that I think is the secret to South's success.
Yeah.
And if anyone saw George Burgess catch that kick at the end of the game last Sunday and go, boy, they've turned their game around, Spud texts the Burgeye and go, aim between shoulders.
In between, I'm just thinking about that, right? So that's the middle of the body.
I thought just go for the head.
Go for the head, because they're big blokes.
They're big boys.
You know how you remember Chris? I don't know if you remember this, but this country was built on you know, convicts. You know, it was a colonial purge of the.
I thought you were going to say the sheep's back.
Yeah, the low life of England, right? We've now sort of reenacted this. Let's send them back, please. The Burgi back on the next boat, please.
It's interesting you talk about that. I saw Gordon Tallis last weekend say he had a huge fight in an international against, I think it was Great Britain, and the sledge was, "You're a convict." And he said, "I'm not a convict." And he took that as an insult, whereas I would have thought that that's part of our national identity,
yes,
and we should
is.
Be wearing it with pride.
We do.
You know, I mean, the second wave of settlers after the original people were here some 40,000 years.
Everybody's got a convict in their family now.
Yeah, yeah, own the heritage.
Absolutely. So, okay, so, well...
There's another... Well, there's another whisperer in South, isn't there?
There is indeed. We caught footage the other night. And is this... We talked about the wag that was texting recently.
Mrs. Falau. Maria Falau.
She was trying to...
OMG, Waratahs, why have you got Izzy Falau on the wing? Playing a game called Rugby Union.
Trying to manipulate.
I said...
For the sideline.
I don't mind it. Yeah. I think coaches need to know what the extended family thinks about, you know, tactical decisions.
Right, and
Do we take the two?
Julie Burgess is no wallflower.
No?
No, she likes to get amongst it.
She's got profile.
She's got profile. She does. She
She's happily sitting up in the box where the camera can catch her.
She kicks heads.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
We live in a modern media society.
So she obviously wasn't happy with a certain few things, and maybe she thought Spud was getting in their head too much.
Right.
So she then was seen texting who? We don't know.
Oh, I think I know exactly who.
Yes.
Based on the latitude that was allowed South Sydney.
Those junior referees.
I think she's a direct line of the bunker.
The bunker, straight to the bunker.
Yeah, and I think part of Russell's ongoing funding conditions to keep South afloat, because let's face it, no Crow, no Souths. And they should have been kicked out, and they were kicked out, and they should have stayed kicked out. Right. Hello, 13,000 people on Mother's Day on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, that's a disgrace, isn't it? Is that why you had the big sale recently, the divorce sale?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, to keep the funds flowing.
Flowing, ticking over, yeah. How is he looking, by the way? Did you see him at the game?
I think he's been spotted at... he looked Noah-esque.
Noah-esque.
You look Noah-esque.
Yes, he's channeling Jack Thompson, isn't
he? That's a great...
Someone said he looked like Santa Claus.
That's a great through line, isn't
How
it?
How old is he again?
Russell?
He's
younger than me, isn't he?
He's only 40, right?
Yeah, right.
Or something.
Yeah. But I think part of it is that Julie has a direct line of the bunker and therefore can influence decisions. That's part of South staying in the game.
Right. Now, listen, we have reported before, of course, that all the birds ate four chickens that are sitting every day.
And Julie has one to make 17 all up.
We've got the dirt from the chicken shop locally in Redfern. They're full of steroids. They're pumped up.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Hormones.
The whole bit. The whole
stuffing.
Gamut. The whole range, yeah.
Stuffing.
Yeah. You see the pimples on the back of their neck? That's not good.
No. You're not alleging something illegal in South Sydney, Stephen. Can't you just accept defeat when and as it occurs?
We were robbed. Okay. He's going to do it. Jesus Christ.
We are really a near disaster playing that song, aren't we?
Surely are. We're really scraping the barrel trying to get some new fans there, aren't we?
Yeah, but let's face it, we've had a look at the form and say they're a contender, and maybe we'll be needing to acknowledge that later in the season.
Yes, and there is a reason, of course, why they're in the position they are, this South Sydney team, and that is their new coach, Seibold, has got a particular plan, hasn't he? It's got a phrase. Can you tell us what it is?
He is all about tactical periodisation.
Yes.
And I have no idea what that means.
No.
I think producer Pat suggested that he's taken the old view of rugby league, like traditional softening up period.
Yes.
And the 5 minutes before half time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's renamed those periods, and he has specific tactics based on what he also refers to as game modelling. So he's got Cody Walker and Adam Reynolds at the computer pre-game modelling scenarios, which they then take a mental note of and go out and manage the game based on the game model and deliver tactics at each period, hence
Christ
tactical
almighty,
periodization.
Chris.
And rugby league is a simple game played by idiots.
And how are these men supposed to understand all these whispers going at them with all this tactical stuff and this, you know, coaching this and mother that and...
Well, you've got to be careful because a lot of voices in the head will muddle things, whereas we heard from Cameron Smith, you can hear the knocking in his
head.
His success, and let's face it, we're all enormous Cameron Smith fans here.
We love you,
We've loved everything he's done. It's that empty-headedness that's always worked for him.
But this is where they are at the moment, aren't they? South Sydney.
Oh, they're the benchmark.
Jeez, at least Mary can laugh.
Look, I tell you what, Mary is very confident if he's going into a losing press conference and doing stand-up.
Stand-up.
And doing it rather successfully,
yes,
I think.
Yes,
South Sydney, new benchmark.
Yes, look, we would hope to be the benchmark, but I don't know what of.
Sarah Lander has texted in, by the way, big fan of the show.
Yes.
Henry's apparently Harry's last name, or his full name is Henry Wales.
Henry Wales,
yeah.
After a whole block of land.
Yeah.
Wales itself.
A principality of the kingdom.
Yeah, what are the Welsh folks? Are they good singers?
Tremendous singers.
Mighty.
Wonderful. And all those great bands, Manic Street Preachers,
yes.
Super Fairy Animals, and that's where I kind of run out.
Okay, wonderful. You want to fire up? We'll be back in just a moment.
Why do you whisper green grass? Why tell the trees what ain't so? Whispering grass, the trees don't have to know. No, no. Why tell them all your secrets? Who kissed there long ago? Whispering grass, the trees don't need to know. Don't you tell it to the breeze, for she will tell the birds and bees, and everyone will know, because you told the blabbering trees. Yes, you told them once before. It's no secret anymore. Why tell them all the old things? They're buried under the snow. Whispering grass, don't tell the trees, 'cause the trees don't need to know.
Now don't you tell it to the breeze, 'cause she'll run and tell it to the birds and bees, and everyone'll know, because you done told the blabbering trees. Yes, you did. You told them once before. So that's why it ain't no secret anymore.
Why tell them all the old things? They're buried under the snow. Whispering grass, don't tell the trees, 'cause the trees don't need to know.
Fired up! Ready to go! Fired up! Ready to go! Fired up! Ready to go! Let's go change the world. Thank you, everybody. All right, who wants ice cream? Come get it.
I can relate to him. I mean, after all he's done, after all we've done, at least he's got ice cream. What have we got, Chris?
We've got a couple of texts. We've got his audio. We got a text from Todd from Ramsgate saying that he doesn't like rugby league but loves fire up.
Right.
But what do we think about Todd Carney to the Bears? If it upsets South, because apparently South will sever ties with the North Sydney Bears if Todd goes,
yoo-hoo!
I'm in favour of
him. Yes, and if it upsets Manly too. Okay. Now there was a talking about benchmark jokes, right? We're going to raise the bar here. Goes the suggestion that an Annus Horribilis could potentially bottom out. Boom boom.
Sorry, I'm doing stand up and I don't realise it. Well, it'll be the first time I've got close to being funny.
Yes, exactly, Chris. Exactly, and that's why you're where you are at the moment. This is far up and rugby league. Now you lost last night.
Yes.
Jesus. Chris, what's going on?
Well, you know, we had an emerging superstar who stamped his personality all over Leichhardt Oval last week in the Magic
Stamps
Mullet.
That's an understatement.
Magic Mullet.
The Magic
Fanua.
Mullet?
Yeah.
Wow, it's a beauty. And his line, of course, was to his girlfriend, "Babe, I think I'm going to get a mullet." Like, you know when you got to drop the big one?
Yeah.
I think I've lost my job. You know? Yeah. I think I'm pregnant. You know?
She was hoping for a proposal.
All right, go and do it then, yeah. You know. And what a mullet it was. Yeah. It was more like a Once Were Warriors sort of mullet, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
All shaved and big thing at the back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was its own. Yeah. It was own speed.
I mean, John Farnham didn't stand a chance, you know.
Not a chance
Michael
at
Hutch
all.
Not a chance. Michael Bolton, not a chance, you know.
It was great to see Buckets Hemsley on League Life this week because he was the mullet from the 80s for the Tigers, Balmain Tigers, of course, the side of the joint
when
venture.
When there was no joke.
Because we did what we had to, Hello Souths. he's still got the long mane.
Has he?
There's a role for long hair in rugby league. I implore people to have a look at Charlie Gubb from the Raiders, who's sporting a Gene Simmons Kabuki top knot right now.
Wow.
So he's giving Mahe everything he can offer. But Mahe was not able to play at Penrith Park last night because he was late for training.
Yeah, what is he? Tongan? Maori?
Gosh, that's a good question he played for in
rolls,
the World Cup.
He rolls a little differently, though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he just turned up late.
Yeah,
axed.
Well, slept through.
Right, you could really afford to ax him. Hello?
Slept through the alarm.
That's genius.
Yeah,
Cleary.
Hit the snooze button. Turns
genius.
Out he turned it off.
Right, okay. Now, look, it's not often that we agree
Tonga.
with Peter Fitzsimons 1 week and probably Alan Jones next week. And God knows, who are we talking about this week, Chris? One of our favourite rugby league callers of all time.
Well, we know he's listening right now.
Yes. Yeah.
Ray Hadley from 2GB.
That's where he gets his jokes from.
Bolts. Mm.
Yep. Bolts. Man, God, he's got character, that bloke. Colour, movement, grace, style.
He just texted us and said Mahe Fanua is from Tonga, so now we've sorted that out.
Fantastic. Thank you, Bolts. Now, Bolts was reported recently talking about... We thought it was going to be Cher, or we thought Billy Idol would be a great comeback for the grand final this year for entertainment, but he revealed what it really was. Am I correct in saying it's a modern young outfit?
Yes.
It confused him a little bit, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Peking Duck will be providing the entertainment at Origin 1 at the MCG.
Right.
On 6 June, I think it is, maybe.
Not the grand final. Okay, yep. I stand mistaken.
So it's imminent.
Imminent. And what did he make of this Peking Duck outfit?
I got really excited a short time ago. Into the studio came an NRL release. I wonder, do the NRL send out press releases like they used to do in the record industry with, you know, like people dressed up as pandas or whatever?
Yes,
or
they
a
should.
Box with chocolates or
they
something.
They should.
But into the studio came an NRL release, Peking Duck in Melbourne.
Yeah.
I thought, you little beauty, I love Peking duck.
So it was the press release, did it come with food?
Yeah, well...
obvious mistake.
He goes, I love Peking duck, the hoisin sauce, the duck, the pancakes, spring onions, everything, you know. And then I thought, well, there must be something about this, what's coming into the media boxes, but I was wrong. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's now learned that it's the group Peking Duck who will be providing the entertainment.
Yeah, of course, okay. It does have a certain Chinese flavour to it, though, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It's
I can see why he's confused. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So, okay, carry on.
So he goes, hold on. Yeah. Hang on, just hold the phone here. I've got to understand this and I don't understand it. So listening to the song, which I think was Take Me Over.
Right.
He says, that's not Adam Hyde and Ruben Stiles singing, who are actually Peking Duck.
He knew that much.
He goes, is that correct? And they go, well, what are they doing? They're just playing the music? Who's singing the song? If it's just the boys standing there playing their turntables, it won't be as good as these people singing.
Because I think Peking Duck are in a transitional phase, aren't they? Where they're going from just pressing the button a la DJ style into full-blown, wear an entertainment outfit with performers up front.
Live performance. And my mate, Joel Farland, plays drums with them. It is a
They're
live
get a
experience.
Drummer.
They've got a drummer.
Wow.
He's with them.
But, back to the future, Chris.
And I tell you what, first of all, Hadley's right. I mean, there'd be nothing more boring than seeing someone just press a button up on stage.
How many times have you seen
I mean,
that?
I've gone and seen that, and they call that entertainment?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yes, I mean, Flume, really?
Oh,
really?
Well, you know, at least Flume's got an infinity tube like that.
But when you and I, we press buttons.
It's not entertaining, though.
It's not entertaining at all.
And so he's learned that it's fellow Canberra group Safia.
Yeah.
And he's pushing now for Safia to be there at the MCG on 6 June.
Because they're a band.
Actual real performance,
an actual real
mate.
Band.
You know,
yeah.
Like live. Like right. Like when I, you know, he said, of course, I do take issue with him that the performer actually has to sing. I went and saw Hans Zimmer the other day. Hans Zimmer didn't sing
any
song.
No.
It still was okay.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it was
but
okay.
But a lot of musicians though, Chris.
Yeah, a lot of musicians.
A lot of people touching things with strings. And
I still think people were pressing buttons in the background off stage.
Yeah.
And he goes, So someone tell me why Safia need Adam Hyde and Ruben Stiles. They sound pretty good to me.
Yes.
So he says, my question in the NRL, if Peking Duck are coming... This is Ray Hadley, mind you, having this discussion. Yes. If Peking Duck are coming to the NRL, why aren't Safia?
We're with Bolts on this one.
Well, I think
so. And you know, Bolts is also with Boy George on this one, too. He doesn't like button pushers either.
Right.
He wants proper singers, proper bands, or nothing at all.
What does he ask when he DJs for Vivid?
A fair whack of money.
<That's> right.
Pressing buttons. He does it very well, too, Chris.
Yeah. So if Safia plays the NRL Grand Final, they've got one person to thank.
Gee whiz, Chris, I hope to see you next week. We're in exciting times. Of course, State of Origin, that's all we live for in this day and age.
Look.
Coming up soon.
I can't guarantee I'll be here because I'm so upset by the announcement.
Yeah.
Kenny Edwards, my heart is broken.
Me too. Rugby league's in a very bad state at the moment.
Hashtag talk the game
Thanks,
down.
Chris. See you later.